لا يصدعون عنها ولا ينزفون وفاكهة مما يتخيرون ولحم طير مما يشتهون وحور عين كأمثال اللؤلؤ المكنون جزاء بما كانوا يعملون لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا تأثيما إلا قيلا سلاما سلاما وأصحاب اليمين ما أصحاب اليمين في سدر مخضود وطلح منضود وظل ممدود وماء مسكوب وفاكهة كثيرة لا مقطوعة ولا ممنوعة وفرش مرفوعة إنا أنشأناهن إنشاء فجعلناهن أبكارا عربا أترابا لأصحاب اليمين ثلة من الأولين وثلة من الآخرين وأصحاب الشمال ما أصحاب الشمال في سموم وحميم وظل من يحموم لا بارد ولا كريم إنهم كانوا قبل ذلك مترفين وكانوا يصرون على الحنث العظيم وكانوا يقولون أئذا متنا وكنا ترابا وعظاما أئذا متنا وكنا ترابا وعظاما أئنا لمبعوثون أو آباؤنا الأولون قل إن الأولين والآخرين لمجموعون إلى ميقات يوم معلوم ثم إنكم أيها الضالون المكذبون لآكلون من شجر من زقوم فما
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. We welcome you to a program, the Ashura Nights, Nights of Ashura program here at the Hadi Institute, organized by the Light of Guidance. Program entitled On His Path, A Husseini Life, Ashura 2021, lecture series by Sheikh Salim Yusuf Ali. I would like to first kick off the program by inviting Brother Ali Jum'ah to come up here to the podium and get us started off with a recitation from the Holy Quran with Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Salla ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم. أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين. أم حسب الذين يعملون السيئات أن يسبقونا ساء ما يحكمون. من كان يرجو لقاء الله فإن أجل الله لآت وهو السميع العليم. ومن جاهد فإنما يجاهد لنفسه إن الله لغني عن العالمين. والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لنكفرن عنهم سيئاتهم ولنجزينهم أحسن الذي كانوا يعملون. ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حسنا وإن جاهداك لتشرك بي ما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما إلي مرجعكم فأنبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لندخلنهم في الصالحين. ومن الناس من يقول آمنا بالله فإذا أوذي في الله جعل فتنة الناس كعذاب الله ولئن جاء نصر من ربك ليقولن إنا كنا معكم. أوليس الله بأعلم بما في صدور العالمين. وليعلمن الله الذين آمنوا وليعلمن المنافقين. وقال الذين كفروا للذين آمنوا اتبعوا سبيلنا ولنحمل خطاياكم وما هم بحاملين من خطاياهم من شيء إنهم لكاذبون. وليحملن أثقالهم وأثقالا مع أثقالهم وليسألن يوم القيامة عما كانوا يفترون. ولقد أرسلنا نوحا إلى قومه فلبث فيهم ألف سنة إلا خمسين عاما فأخذهم الطوفان وهم ظالمون. فأنجيناه وأصحاب السفينة وجعلناها آية للعالمين. وإبراهيم إذ قال لقومه اعبدوا الله واتقوه ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية. فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي. صدق الله العظيم، صلى على محمد وآل محمد.
JazakAllah, Brother Ali. Wonderful recitation. May Allah bless you and your family. I would like to welcome you all again. We are gathering here tonight on the nights of Ashura to mourn the sacrifice that Abu Abdullah made on the day of Ashura. Him, along with his family, his friends, his companions, and those who carried his message forward afterwards. We gather to pay our condolences to the Imam of our time and to the leader of the Muslim Ummah on this great martyrdom of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. May Allah bless us all with continued guidance and proximity to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And may Allah accept our worship on these blessed days and nights. I would like to quickly make some announcements. Before we get going here, inshallah, as you all know, the lectures will inshallah start here with doors opening at 6:45, and lectures starting off, the program starting off at 7 p.m. inshallah. The format of the program is that after the lecture there'll be masa'ib or majlis and latmiyah to follow after that, and we will inshallah try to close the program early just to have an opportunity for people to get home and pray on time. So there won't be any salat here. For those who want to pray, they're more than welcome to, but no salat al-jama'ah here. The program will continue every night, inshallah, and on the 19th of August, which is the day of Ashura, we will have a maqtal recitation. So the program details will be shared with you through all of our communication channels. Other events that are going on in the community, there is a Ashura procession, the March of Justice, organized by the Ashura Project. That's on Sunday, August 15th, and we're all requested to gather at 9:30 a.m. at the Henry Ford, the Fordson High School. So you're all welcome and encouraged to join that program, inshallah. Quick note about this building. The bathrooms are located downstairs next to the cafeteria. There is a room for mothers with nursing children in the back of the hall. You're more than welcome to take advantage of that. And we request all to adhere to the masking and face covering requirements, just because we want to minimize risk to everybody here attending. With that, I would like to invite Sheikh Salim to come to the minbar and bless us all with his words of wisdom. With salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعن الله الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين من يومنا هذا إلى قيام يوم الدين السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. Respected brothers, sisters, we've gathered here for the first night of the month of Muharram. The New Year is usually a time of celebration in different cultures. It's a time of gathering and optimism and looking forward to the new year, and usually it's a time that people take off to be able to celebrate the event in that time. But for the lovers and devotees and followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam, the new year in the Islamic calendar brings a different type of atmosphere. People gather together, but not for celebration. They take time off from their normal routine, but not for partying and merrymaking. And whether it be here in this center, whether it be in other centers in this city or all around the world, there are millions of individuals who are gathering for the morning of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and his companions. We're very blessed to be able to be part of this gathering. And what I'd like to do this evening, inshallah, is to speak about the importance of these gatherings and what is the purpose behind them and how are they connected to the past and what can we get from them as we're going forward in the nights that are coming up. Inshallah, I do have a topic that I will be covering on a nightly basis, which has to do with leading a lifestyle of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam, or the Husseini lifestyle, and that I'll get into tomorrow, starting from tomorrow. But tonight I'd like to set the stage for our discussion by talking about this gathering itself. Now, when we look at Western lifestyle, and when it comes to the topic of mourning, usually people who are in grief, like if they're sad about something, like somebody passes away or, you know, something, a negative event happens in their lives, usually what happens is that we're waiting for them to just get over it. It's kind of like something where, you know, maybe somebody, they need their time and eventually they'll get over it. And the normal routine is that everyone is supposed to be happy. And that's kind of the, at least there's an imagined sense that in our culture that everyone should be happy all the time. Now, the reality on the ground is that there is actually a lot of unhappiness that takes place. And inshallah, one of the things that we're going to be speaking about is, you know, the increasing rate of depression in the community, even among Muslims and our communities, and what is it that we can do about that. But I do want to say that when it comes to mourning, it's not something which usually people would be looking forward to. It's not something that usually people would want to drag out. It's not something that people would want to come back to again and again and again. But here we are, and for many of us, it's not the first time that we've had the honor of participating in the majalis of Imam Hussein, and we're looking forward to having an extended period of mourning. So we need to understand, how does that fit with the way that we look at things? Because we're in a culture which is used to sort of boxing it away and then being done with it. Also, one of the things that we're doing in these gatherings is that we're going through a lot of rituals. Here we had the recitation of Quran. now you had somebody wearing this, mounting this member. You see that the halls are draped with black. There's a certain program, there's a certain way of doing things. There's poetry, there's beating of the chest, there's processions, there's tears. All of these are rituals. And they're not new rituals. Those of you, you know, you know that they are things that, you know, for those of you who were born into Muslim families, you know that your generations before you, they were doing similar rituals. Once again, though, when we come to Western lifestyle, what is the trend? The trend is one of personalization and customization. I don't need to, you know, have the same type of thing that everyone else does, right? I can customize my own background color. I can customize my own scene and my own font and my own, you know, profile the way I want. I don't need to conform to anybody else's sort of way of doing things. So the idea of rituals also is something that's very important for us to discuss. Why is it important for us not to just commemorate, but to commemorate in a ritualistic way? What is the value of these rituals? These are the two things that, inshallah, I want to touch on tonight. The concept of emotions and grief and the concept of rituals. Inshallah, you can help me with a beautifully united salawat on Muhammad and his family. So brothers and sisters, when it comes to the ritual that we're commemorating, the first thing we need to realize in order to make sure that it has meaning and we give it value is that what we're doing right now is connected to the very first human being that was ever on this earth, which is our forefather, Nabi Adam alayhi salam. From that time, we know that when there was a time where Allah Ta'ala revealed to Nabi Adam the coming of the Prophet. And he was mentioning the family members of the Prophet. And when he came to the name of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Nabi Adam, according to riwayah, Imam Nabi Adam alayhi salam, felt something in his heart. There was a certain feeling that came about. And at that point, Allah Ta'ala revealed to him what was going to happen to the grandson of the Prophet. And when Nabi Adam heard that, he began to cry. So that was the first majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in history. And we know that prophet after prophet, they similarly mourned Imam Hussein alayhi salam, including our prophet, including after our prophet, Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam, Sayyidah Fatimah al-Zahra alayhi salam, Imam Hassan, and even we see that the very first official majlis that takes place of commemoration and mourning after the martyrdom is in the battlefield itself. There's a riwayah from Qurra ibn Qais at-Tamimi. He was one of the soldiers in the army of Yazid. And he says that, I will never forget that scene where the ladies of Bani Hashim, they came to the battlefield and they saw what had happened to the bodies of the marchers, and they began to weep and they began to beat themselves. You know, it's an act of lamentation, of mourning, when somebody strikes themselves. So they were doing that. And then he says that there was one amongst them, and I will never forget this scene, the daughter of Fatima alayhi salam. And she was the one who spoke out, and she says that, Ya Muhammada hadha Husaynun bil ara and murammalun bid dima, and so on. You know these lines, we recite it often in the Masaib. Zainab alayhi salam is having a majlis on the battlefield of Karbala. And after her, we know that this was the seerah of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. It's one of the things that they placed importance on. Sometimes it would be in their homes. We have in riwayah that Imam Baqir alayhi salam actually purchased some property and he did a waqf of that property for it to be used to have the majalis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They would invite famous poets and they would listen to them and have them recite that poetry, and they would cry, and others would cry as well. And this continues during the time of the ghaiba through the successors of the imam of the time, meaning the, you know, those who were appointed, the ulama. They continued this seerah of having these gatherings of mourning. Now, brothers and sisters, it wasn't always an easy thing to do. Even during the time of the imams, we know that one of the consistent themes, we look at the history of the khulafa, one of the things that they would do is they would often want to stop the lovers of the Ahlul Bayt from doing the ziyarah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So sometimes they would allow it, sometimes they would stop it, sometimes they would threaten, sometimes they would actually have patrols on the road, and sometimes they would kill the zuwar of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The other thing they would do is they would try to stop the majalis of mourning of Imam Hussein. And sometimes, again, they would fine people, sometimes they would persecute them, sometimes they would imprison them. Why would they do that? And this is something that we need to understand. This gives life to the meaning of what we're doing here. It gives it life, it gives it meaning. Why would they care? They knew that there was something in these mourning commemorations which gave life to the people, and they wanted to stop that from happening. This continued throughout history. I'll give you an example from more recent history. Leading up to the Islamic Revolution in Iran, before the revolution, there was a regime known as the Pahlavi regime. And the Shah of the Pahlavi regime, his name was Reza Shah. Now, Reza Shah, at one point, he was seen participating in the majalis of Imam Hussein. He would come bareheaded. He would come with like the marks of earth on his like face and clothes, like a sign of humility, like he was, you know, sort of showing like that he's a person of mourning. He would light candles, as was the custom, you know, in his culture. He would light candles on the night after Ashura and participate in those type of gatherings. He would go and visit some of the great scholars at the time of these 10 days. And in some of the majalis, they would even, they were like, wow, you know, we have a leader who is participating in the majalis of Imam Hussein. They would even praise him for what he was doing. That was policy number one. But then things started to change. There is one point where he said that from now on, there will be no separation between men and women at the majalis of Imam Hussein. So he wanted to try to change the culture. There's a culture that was there in place. He said, I need to change this culture. But that didn't seem to have the desired effect that he was looking for. So then what did he do? He said that, oh, we need to cut down the number of days that people are mourning for Imam Hussein. That didn't work either. What did he do then? He says that, okay, we need to cut the processions. No more processions. If you want to do it, you do it in your Husseiniyas, you do it in your centers, in your masajid. But that didn't work either. And then what does he do? He says that now you are no longer allowed to mourn for Imam Hussein. And he would have penalties. People who would do it, you know, let's say a man was caught doing it, his beard would be shaved forcefully. You can't do that. Or he would throw people into prison for doing it. And finally, if we go back in history, what does he do? He says that on the 9th and 10th of the month of Muharram, we need to organize parades and circuses so that people will be not even thinking about mourning on those days. Now, why am I saying this, brothers and sisters? What's the relevancy for us? The relevancy is that if we understand that the gatherings of mourning throughout history have been symbols for freedom, they have been symbols for those individuals who want to carry forward the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, then it makes our rituals have meaning in them. They no longer are what could be seen as empty rituals. Imam Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayhi, he's been reported to have said that The majalis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam are the most important gathering for the tarbiyah of children, for the upbringing of children in Islamic manner, and for teaching Islamic lifestyle. The most important gatherings. What is it about these gatherings? One of the points is the connection to where they come from and what they can lead someone to do. So brothers and sisters, when we're talking about rituals, what are those rituals that are important for us to emphasize? When the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam would mourn, they would do things in a certain way. They wouldn't just do them randomly. Like, they would have certain things that they would do to emphasize the point that they are in a state of mourning. I'll give you some examples. When Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam was martyred, it was an act of oppression. So we're told that for a year afterwards, the women folk of the Ahlul Bayt, they would wear black. When, for example, we're told that the women of Bani Hashim, when after the events of Karbala, they did not dye their hair until Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad revenge was taken and he was killed. So this was talking about some period of time where they didn't do that. Now at that time, that was considered, you know, a symbol. It was something that was really spoke loudly about the state of their mourning. And we have other examples of different things that the imams would do. Sometimes the imams would invite the poets, as I mentioned. They would not only invite the poets, but they would have their entire family gathered together. And all of them would come and they would participate in that majlis of mourning for Imam Hussein. So what do we learn from this? We learn that there are certain things that the Ahlul Bayt used to do in a ritual way, but they would do it for a purpose. They would actually, sometimes it wouldn't be so easy. It would be, you know, they would have to take extra time. They would have to put extra cost towards it. But they did it because they knew that this was something that would have that desired effect. So when we're talking about what the etiquette is that we should have, first of all, it's important to realize that etiquette is necessary. I see here, alhamdulillah, many individuals, many youth, adults who are dressed in black. Right? This is very important. This is part of saying that, you know what, I care. I'm not just going to another gathering. I care about this. One of the other things that we can do as part of ritualizing this in a positive way is to come to the gatherings as families. It should be a family affair. Sometimes, you know, it might be the case that we come to gatherings of mourning of Imam Hussein and parents have no idea what their children are doing. Maybe their children are on their devices. Maybe their children are somewhere else. Like, and, you know, what is meant to be a transformational experience towards what's positive, it becomes something which is transformational in the negative way. It shouldn't be that case. What we learn from the Ahlul Bayt is that they would treat it as a family thing. That for me and my family, we're all here together. We're all here to benefit. What are some of the other rituals that we need to take into account when it comes to the majalis of Imam Hussein? One of them is the importance of participating in the majalis, taking that effort. When we track those families who live in Western society, those families who are able to preserve their identity of being followers of the Ahlul Bayt, we see that consistently, one of the things that they do is for these types of gatherings and for other events which the community sees as being very important as a way of keeping alive the mission of the Ahlul Bayt, what do? They take that effort to make sure that they do attend. You know, with the pandemic, obviously there has been a need to kind of scale down and to do things in a safer way. And for the most part, all communities for some time were shut down, you know, in recent times. Alhamdulillah, we're blessed to be able to come back together in person. Now, there's a tendency now to just say, you know what, it's easier for me to just sit at home. And we know of individuals who basically are saying that from now on, I'm just going to do things from home. My way of being a committed follower of the religion of Islam and a follower of the path of the Ahlul Bayt is to be able to be on YouTube at the right time, every time. Now, for some people, they might have special circumstances, which that's the best that they can do. Alhamdulillah, that's awesome. But let's say that somebody doesn't have those special circumstances, but it's something of convenience. Oh, you know, I'd rather not meet with other people. I prefer to be a loner. Wait a minute. There's so much barakah in gathering together. There's so much barakah in those efforts that we take. There's so much barakah in being able to put up with having somebody sitting next to us, to be able to hear the cries of the children and be able to put up with that, to be able to help each other, to be able to serve one another. This is what makes us be true followers of the Ahlul Bayt. We look at the seerah of our great scholars like Ayatollah Behjat, like others. They would take time from their busy schedules to see whatever they could do to serve those people who were coming to the majalis of Imam Hussein. Ayatollah Behjat himself would try to take time to see if he can serve tea to the people who are coming. He would walk around making sure, okay, is everything okay? Everyone's, you know, has a place to sit. Why? Because he wanted to show that he's not just a spectator. This is something that he really believes in. But at the same time, we also have to observe balance. And this is important as well. We have a hadith where there was a companion of Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, who was, one time he went to do ziyarah. He was living in a different city. Perhaps he was, for example, living in Kufa. He went all the way to Medina. He wanted to do ziyarah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi at the grave of the Prophet. Him and one of the other companions of Imam Sadiq. Now, when they get to Medina, his friend gets sick. Now, he's in a dilemma because he traveled all the way from, let's say, Kufa to Medina, and he's there for just a few days. He got to get back soon. And now, it's like, do I go for ziyarah or do I attend to my sick friend here who needs my help? So what does he do? He says, okay, you know what? I'll help him out, but I got to go do ziyarah. I'm here. Now, when he's out during this time that he's there, he's out of the home, one of the friends of theirs comes to visit the sick person. And he goes and tells Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he says that, you know, this is what happened. These two came from far away. One of them is sick and the other one is doing the ziyarah of the Prophet. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam sends a message. What does he say? He says that had he stayed home and tended to the needs of that sick person, it would have been better for him. This is very important. Sometimes these in the gatherings, whether it be those who organize them, those who participate in them, sometimes our priorities are not straight. Yes, you know, they're very important, they're very crucial, they're very pivotal, but there are times when there's something which is more important for us to attend to. Please say salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The last point of etiquette that I'd just like to suggest, brothers and sisters, and this is from the words of the great scholars, they say that every day or night during these 10 days, try to find a moment to do a special tawassul to the Imam, to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Now, what does that mean? Right? It doesn't mean that you have to like say anything special or do any special thing, just for a moment in the day, just talk to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, send salam to him, and ask for his special attention during these nights and days. Because they're special. The opportunity is incredible. Many, many individuals have been transformed because of these types of majalis. Entire nations have changed their course and their destinies because of these types of gatherings. The potential is enormous. We have to take advantage of it. So I have said some things about ritual, about how we can take this from being a ritual which might be empty and disconnected to be something which is very connected to the past, very transformational, and some of those things we can do in the form of ritual. The second thing I wanted to talk about, and inshallah then I'll move to the Masai portion, is emotion. Again, to go back to Western culture, what does it typically say, it says that, you know, sadness and grieving is supposed to be limited. Why is it that we're crying? What is the point? Is Islam a religion of mourning? Is Shia Islam something which is creates a nation of weepers and mourners? Where's the joy? Where's the happiness? What is the point behind all of this? Brother and sister, I want to take you to two verses of the Quran, which I think are very important for us to understand something about the philosophy behind emotions from an Islamic perspective. The first verse is from Surah At-Tawbah, where Allah is describing a group of people who are happy. Who are these people? They are people who decided to sort of abandon the cause of the Ahlul Bayt. The Prophet ﷺ, in the ninth year of the Hijrah, he told the Muslims that it's very important for us to get ready to go and fight the Roman army. We have reports that they've gathered in Tabuk. It's a place in the northwest of Medina. We need to go there. It was the middle of the summer. And there's a lot of people who at that point, they were like, you know what? We're not going to do it. This is too much for us. And so they came up with a lot of excuses. And when the Prophet left with his army, those who deserted, those who stayed back, the Quran describes their psychology and their worldview. What does it say? It says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فرح المخلفون بمقعدهم خلاف رسول الله. Those who sat back, they are in a state of happiness. They're like giving themselves high fives. They're just partying. Why? Because they got to stay back. وَكَرِهُ أَن يُجَاهِدُ بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They're happy about staying back. What makes them unhappy is the idea of doing jihad, of going out in the heat, of sacrificing their wealth, of giving up, you know, their time, of not being able to tend to their crops and losing a whole season of you know, let's say, I don't know, whatever crops they were tending to at that time. That's something that they are not happy with. وَقَالُوا لَا تَنْفِرُوا فِي الْحَرِّ. And not only that, they take their negativity and they spread it to others as well. They say that, you know what, you guys shouldn't go either. Don't support the Prophet. What is this? You know, battling in the middle of the summer. Now, Allah responds to them. What does he say? He says, قُلْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرَّ. The fire of hell is hotter than, you know, this right here. لَوْ كَانُوا يَفْقَهُونَ. If only they understood. Then, what does Allah say? He says, فَلْيَضْحَكُوا قَلِيلًا وَلْيَبْكُوا كَثِيرًا جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ or مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. He says that what? That let them laugh a little and let them cry a lot as a reward for what they used to do. Brothers and sisters, you know, there's a concept of تَجَسُّمُ al-a'mal, which is part of our creed. The idea that when Allah describes somebody's state in the hereafter, that's the reality of what they are. It's a reality of their deeds, the totality of what they've done. This is what they've become. Allah is describing people who are apparently happy. They're cheerful. They're like enjoying themselves. Allah says that what in the hereafter, they will be crying. They'll be laughing very little, but they'll be crying a lot. They'll be in a state of deep grief in the hereafter. Why? Because their happiness has been predicated on something which is false. What does Islam teach us? It teaches us that emotions are not just a simple matter of, oh, I'm happy right now or I'm sad right now. No, emotions have something that connects to other things that God has given us, like our heart, our aql, our ability to discern between truth and falsehood. When the emotions are tied to truth, then there can be a different reality behind what's apparent. And that's why we see another example, and this one is from Surah Al-Ma'idah. Allah describes a group of Christians, Christian scholars, Christian, meaning those who had stayed true to the true creed of the Christians, and they were ready to accept the truth. Allah describes them as what? وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَّا الرَّسُولِ. When they hear the revelation, they hear about Tawheed, what happens? They تَرَىٰ أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيدُ مِنَ الدَّمْ. You see that their eyes begin to pour out. They're crying so much that it's as if their eyes are going to fall off. Why? So they're apparently sad. مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ. From what they have come to understand of the truth. يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا فَاكْتُبْنَا مَعَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. So they are believing. They're crying, they're praying believers. Now, what happens to them? فَأَثَابَهُمَ اللَّهُ بِمَا قَالُوا جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. For them, there are gardens beneath which river flows, and they will be staying there forever. Do you see here? This is the opposite. On the outer, they're crying. But what's the reality? Is the reality of what they're doing is they're in bliss. They're in paradise. Brothers and sisters, one of the entry points, one of the doorways into heaven from the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt is the tears that we shed for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. You can have a gathering of people who are weeping, and every one of them at that point, their soul is enjoying itself in the heaven of God. How can that be? It is because our understanding of reality is that it goes much beyond, you know, the shallowness of this dunya. So one thing that we need to convey to especially our next generation is, yes, there's sadness, but this sadness comes along with a happiness which is indescribable. And that happiness is also part of Islam. Yes, we have our happy occasions. Islam doesn't say that you always should be in a state of mourning. Mourning can also go to the excess as well. But even in that mourning, there's happiness as well. That's point number one. Point number two is that sadness comes along with other emotions. Yes, it's about grief, but it's also about love. It's about hope. These gatherings are gatherings of hope, gatherings of love, gatherings of service, gatherings of Islamic siblinghood and coming together. And what it also means, brothers and sisters, sometimes people misunderstand. So they're like, okay, if I'm going to be in a state of grief, that means that at home, in my family, for example, there's going to be no smiles, there's going to be no talking, you know, we'll just be sad the whole, you know, sometimes it can be to the excess, like 40 days, 2 months, whatever. Well, imagine what that would do to the family, right? That's unnatural to live in that type of state. Remember that the sadness that comes about, it's something which is more than just, you know, that outer thing. There's something deep, there's a deep connection there. So we have to understand, brothers and sisters, that it's a sadness which comes, there's a basis behind it. It's a sadness which comes with love, respect. It should be the case that during these 10 days, there's more love in the family than even in other days. There's more care for one another. Why? Because that's what we're taught from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Those are the values that Imam Hussein alayhi salam showed us. So with that introduction, I would like to now, inshallah, go to the Masaib portion for tonight. Like I said, with the will of Allah, this was just a precursor, an introduction. Hopefully, with this, it's been a reminder for us about some of the etiquette and some of the purposes of the emotion that we have. Inshallah, tomorrow we will begin the topic of the Islamic lifestyle and some of the practical considerations in that regard. For tonight, though, I'd like to mention a few words of mourning and musibah. I wanted to start out with a story that I came across. It was an inspiring story for me. Inshallah, you can take some benefit for it as well. They say that in the recent past, not so long ago, there was somebody who was living in one of the Islamic countries. His pastime, you know, was that he would go and recite the masayib of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in different people's homes. So one day, you know, he goes to the address of the home that he was invited to do the musibah for. It was the first of Muharram, not unlike perhaps this gathering right here. And when he gets to the home, he knocks on the door. He sees that the people are looking at him kind of weird. They're like, what are you here for? What do you want? And he says, I've come to recite the majlis and the musibah of Imam Hussein. So they're like, Okay, sure. So, you know, they kind of said, come in, and he comes in and he's like, well, it seems like they're not prepared for me. But anyhow, you know, he does his thing and he looks around. He says that these aren't really the type of people, they don't seem like the type of people who would be having majalis of Imam Hussein. But anyway, they let him speak. And so he's like, okay, I didn't come here for them. I came here for a greater purpose. So he does his thing. And he sees that during the course of talking about the masaib, they start to cry. And, you know, they sort of, you know, are accepting what he has to say. And at the end of it, it feels like there was some transformation that takes place. So when he comes out of the home, another man, the neighbor, comes and he says that, "Where were you? We were waiting for you. Why are you late?" He says, "What do you mean?" He says that, "You were supposed to come to our home and you weren't there on time." He says that, "Oh, I came here and I thought this was the home. And when I came in, they didn't say anything about it. They said that, yeah, okay, well, you can do it. So I thought this was the place I was supposed to be at." So he apologized, realized that he actually went to the wrong home. Now they say that that night he received a type of dream where he sort of got the inspiration that he has to continue going to that home. So the next day, 2nd of Muharram, he goes to that same home, and this time they're waiting for him. This time they put up the black. And this time the effect is even more pronounced than the first night. This continues, and up until the day of Ashura, and at the end of it, he realizes that during those 10 days, there's a family that wasn't even expecting for the name of Imam Hussein to be mentioned in their home, but after 10 days, they had become an entirely changed family. Brothers and sisters, this is the power of the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. That even for those who might consider themselves as unworthy, those who might consider themselves as not aligned with the mission of Imam Hussein, those who might consider themselves as never being able to be somebody who could look to the Imam of the time and say to him that, "Have I been faithful to you?" Because they know what the answer would be. Even for them, the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam calls out loudly for them as well. So when we're gathering in these centers and for these majalis, let us have that hope that Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his message will come alive in our hearts in these nights. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. Sallallahu alayka ya abna Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayka ya abna Ali al-Murtada. Sallallahu alayka ya abna Fatima al-Zahra. أيها السفينة النجاة أيها المصباح الهدى. Peace and blessings be upon you, O Chief of Martyrs, O Imam Hussein. Peace and blessings be upon you, oh, the lantern of guidance, oh, ship of salvation. Peace and blessings be upon you, oh, the one who was slain by the banks of the Euphrates River while his mouth was thirsty. Peace and blessings be upon you, O Imam Hussein, and upon those noble companions who sacrificed everything for your cause. Ya laytana kunna ma'akum, fanafuza ma'akum fawzan 'azima. If only we could have been with you and attain that great victory. I want us to take our hearts for a few minutes on this evening to the first martyr of the supporters of Imam Hussein. Who was this martyr? He was the representative of Imam Hussein. He was the one chosen by him, selected by him to speak on his behalf. He was the one who was sent in response to those 30,000 letters of support for Imam Hussein sent from Kufa. Peace and blessings be upon you, O Muslim ibn Aqil, that noble messenger and representative of Imam Hussein. Muslim ibn Aqil had written to Imam Hussein after receiving the Pledge of Allegiance from 18,000 supporters. But when Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad came to Kufa, he began to put in place some of the strict measures. One by one, they began to drop their support from 18,000. When Muslim ibn Aqil asked for an army to fight against the palace and to go to the palace, only 4,000 of them joined him. Later that day, when Muslim ibn Aqil went to the mosque, there was only about 100 of those supporters who were with him. Later in that day, when Muslim ibn Aqil finished his prayers, he looked around. There was not a single supporter who was there to support the cause of Imam Hussein. This is the nature of people. They say one thing, but when they are tested, they do another thing. Their loyalty is shallow. Their master is the dunya. But you have those like Muslim who remain firm on their faith till the very end. Muslim ibn Aqil is walking the streets of Kufa alone. He finds a home where he can spend the night. He spends that night doing ibadah. The elderly lady who's in the home asks him at one point, "Why don't you rest?" He says, "How can I rest on this night? I am preparing to meet my Lord. I have seen my uncle Imam Ali alayhi salam. He has come to me and he has said to me, 'Prepare, for soon you will meet us.'" When the soldiers of Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad find out that Muslim ibn Aqil is in that home, they rush towards the home, they surround it. Muslim ibn Aqil is not going to go down without a fight. He fights valiantly, but he's one man against an entire army. Eventually, Muslim ibn Aqil is taken prisoner. He's taken to the palace of Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. They treat him roughly there. They threaten him. They torture him. They see that at one time Muslim ibn Aqil is saying, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." They see that tears are coming from his eyes. They ask him, "O Muslim, we thought more of you. We thought you were somebody who was renowned for his bravery. Why at this time are you shedding tears?" He responds, "I'm not crying for myself. I'm crying for Hussein. I'm crying for the family of Hussein. Allahumma ahkam baynana wa bayna qawmin khadaluna wa kathabuna wa qataluna. O Allah, judge between us and these people. They pledged their allegiance to us, but then they were disloyal to us. Then they came and they killed us. Peace and blessing be upon Muslim ibn Aqil." What was his last words? He turns to face Imam Hussein and he says, in the direction of the caravan of Imam Hussein, "Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah." Peace and blessings be upon that blessed head of a Muslim ibn Aqil that came down and was then paraded in the streets of Kufa. when news comes to Imam Hussein of the martyrdom of Muslim ibn Aqil, the tears come to Imam Hussein's eyes. He begins to cry out, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Minhum man qada nahbahu wa minhum man yantazir wa ma baddalu tabdila. There are those who have given up their lives in the path of Allah and those who are awaiting. But these are those who do not ever change and they do not ever waver in their faith. They say, according to one report, that Muslim Aqil had one daughter. She was in the caravan. At that point, when he hears this news, Imam Hussein alayhi salam must have been wondering, how can I break this news to the young daughter of Muslim ibn Aqil? She was also Imam Hussein's niece. He calls her to her. She asks him, Oh my uncle, why are you stroking my head like this? I have seen that you have done this to orphans. Don't tell me, has something happened to my father? He tells her that, Yes, my dear, but don't worry. I will be your father now. My sister will be your aunt. My brothers will be your uncles. My sons will be your brothers. My daughters will be your sisters. But we have to ask the question that, yes, Zainab alayhi salam can be her mother, but on the day of Ashura, how many children will Zainab be the mother of? Allah la'anatullahi ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. We ask Allah Ta'ala to accept this majlis from us. We ask Him to enable us to be able to cry sincerely and to weep for the sake of Imam Hussein. We ask that the tears be a means of dousing the pollution that has been created in our souls due to our sinfulness. We ask Allah Ta'ala to accept the efforts of all those who participate and who organize these gatherings. We ask Him to bless these gatherings and make them be a source of pleasure and happiness to the Imam of our time. Ajalallahu farjahu al-sharif wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
JazakAllah, Shaykh, for your kind words and words of wisdom. I would like to now ask Brother Ali Abbas to come up here and recite Bathmiya. For the members of the audience, I would like to request all of you to stay in place. You can stand up and join Brother Ali Abbas as he recites Bathmiya. You're more than welcome to stand up and join him. But to
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Please join me by standing in your place and participating in the litany. One more loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Arrives all of virtue, son of Haydar. These skies cry out to you, Father Haydar. Hussein has now come to Karbala. Look out for your dear son, Ali. Haydar, 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 Haydar. Arrives all of virtue, son of Haydar. These skies cry out to you, Father. Hussein has now come to Karbala. Look out for your dear son, Ali Mawla. Haydar, 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 Haydar. Haydar, 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 Haydar. Are with him, Lady Zainab, with him, Akbar. With Lady Ruqayya and his Aswar. You are known as the Helper, Ya Mawla. Look out for your dearest son of Zahra. Haydar, 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 Habib will be taken, so will Qasim. Habib will be taken, so will Qasim. Soon the moon will set off Bani Hashim. With none around he may call for father. Only thing on his mind will be Haydar, 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 Haydar. With your name we will live.
we will give Haidar, Haidar. With your name we will live Haidar, Haidar. For your love we will give Haidar, Haidar. With your flag we will raise every Khaybar. On Al-Quds we will raise your flag, Haidar, 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 Haidar. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليكم مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم كن وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
JazakumAllah, brothers and sisters, for attending tonight's program. Just a reminder, inshallah, we'll start off the program tomorrow as well, around the same time, 7 p.m. Doors open at 6:45. You all are more than welcome to come and join us tomorrow as well, but same to continue the lecture with Sheikh Salim. JazakumAllah khair. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
If no one else will mourn you with me, I'll mourn you alone. Your broken ribs and your burning home, all this love and solace of you is known. The tablet and the pen attest to you.